shepherd's bin. It's where I found Jesus, where I wrecked my first car. I tore it all to pieces.
Welcome back to the Jump Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on what's left of this Monday morning. Coming up tomorrow on the program from the Media Research Center, Dan Gaynor will join us. We're tentatively going to be joined by Attorney General Steve Marshall and perhaps some other dignitaries along the way. All you got to do is go to my Twitter page, twitter.com/Jeff_Poor. And about sometime during the 8 o'clock hour, I will post the guest list on the program with the corresponding times, and that way you know who to listen for. Nonetheless, check it out. Joining us now, I usually hear him on Fridays about this time, but we have carved out a special segment for him today, just coming out the heels of what's gone on in Montgomery on Friday. When we were talking last, the prison bill was still being deliberated. But State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, on right now. Senator, good morning. How are you? Yep.
A quick encore performance, I guess.
A quick encore performance. I like that. Let's talk about what transpired on Friday. First off, let's start with the bill. We felt pretty good about the bill getting through with the prison construction. It was where a lot of people had questions was where in the call, the governor's call for the special session, where were these criminal justice elements, our criminal justice reform elements, I should say, dealing with sentencing reform and retroactively applying some standards, 2013 and 2015 laws passed, and getting those to apply to people that were sentenced before that. But here we are today, different world than where we were, I think, on Friday.
I think so, and watching the prison construction bill pass was a great thing, something we had worked very hard on and were able to achieve. I was dismayed at the passage of this reform, you know, measure here that basically let, you know, bad guys out of jail early, and that was very, very frustrating to me. I will give, you know, leadership credit that they were able to really hone down the number of reform measures from probably 8 down to 4 down to 2, you know, and then just this one being left. But, you know, the actions we take and the votes we take have serious consequences, and this bill, you know, signed, I think has already been signed into law by the governor, is going to let bad, violent criminals out of jail early, albeit with an ankle monitor, hopefully, but that's what we've done, and I'm disappointed to see that result.
I mean, does this particular aspect, it seems like it takes power away from pardons and paroles. That's been part of the game here all along, is to you know, take this entity that Democrats have problems with for whatever reason and give it, you know, just make it easier for people to get out of incarceration.
You know, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, this is a mandatory release. It is folks that are that are at their end of sentence before they're released, but they're not going through that pardon and parole process, or they've been through it and been rejected, right? And that's why they're there at end of sentence. You know, it's very hard to get to the end of a sentence in Alabama prisons, and we saw that over the weekend, Friday, actually, with the exact, you know, on the exact same day we're voting on this, where you see a police officer sergeant, you know, in Sheffield, you know, shot and then dying the next day by somebody who is sentenced to 10 years and then out, you know, only shortly thereafter. And that's very, very disappointing. But in order to get to, I mean, it's very disappointing to see that those votes have the same place. Very sad to see that happened. But in order to get to an end of sentence, you know, you got to be a bad guy, not just before you went to prison. You got to be a bad guy in prison the whole time you're there, for us to keep you. And the fact that we would take folks that were bad and violent before they got to prison, bad and violent likely while they were in prison, and then let them out early, really, really bothers me. And I wish we had not done that. And I hope that we don't see further negative impacts of that decision, but I'm afraid we will.
Let's talk about what happened on in Sheffield, or I guess it was in Muscle Shoals, but a Sheffield police officer, if you're not familiar with that area, there's four cities right there, the Quad Cities. They're all right there together, Florence, Sheffield, Tuscumbia, and Muscle Shoals. And he had a police officer killed in the line of duty just hours after this vote took place that was out on the suspect is out on parole. Go figure. And that happened earlier in the day, or it happened, you know, we were having a different discussion about these criminal justice reform measures if it had happened any time other before that vote had taken place. Am I wrong to think that?
It had, I believe, you know, it was happening at the same, relatively close to the same time. And it just underscores really just how impactful these votes are and these types of legislation. There's so much of the time is spent on the feel-good aspect of reform and the feel-good aspect of really getting prisoners back ready for acclimation back into society. And that all sounds great. It really does, and it is hopeful in nature. But at the end of the day, there are bad people, and those bad people need to be locked up, and they need to stay locked up. And that this right here, this incident underscores why.
And you know, well, a lot of your colleagues voted for some of this stuff that passed in the legislature on Friday, and kind of, you know, it's like this that there was such a desire for the sake of giving a concession to Democrats, giving something to Democrats that we did it without really, I don't know, maybe we did evaluate what it was, but I think for a lot of people it was just, well, we have to give them something. So it, right or wrong or whatever, the right thing to do is to concede that we need to do more of these early release with some kind of detection before end of sentence. That was really the justification there, and not really thinking about perhaps the consequences.
You're correct, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, especially in the Senate. They are pensive, they are thoughtful, and they make decisions that they believe are correct, and they make compromises, which we all know is necessary in order to move impactful legislation oftentimes. But this one, after hearing from my sheriff, after hearing from my district attorney, after hearing from the attorney general of the state of Alabama, and after going to just one too many officer involved, you know, shooting funeral, somebody who died in the line, this is just not something that I was willing to go along with and willing to vote for. Those votes have serious impacts. And then to see over the weekend, Jeff, some of my colleagues posting about the death of this officer, and they're heartbroken and saddened. And at the same day, you're voting to let violent criminals out of jail. I just don't know how to reconcile those feelings. I don't know how to help them with that grief when, on the one hand, they're clearly upset that a man who should have still been in prison is out killing police officers, while at the same time voting to let dangerous people out. It's hard to reconcile for me.
Right. I mean, the text line's kind of lighting up here, and the comparisons to Willie Horton and what's going on. I mean, it's not necessarily, I guess, aimed at anybody, but I guess the governor did put it in the call, and she did sign it into law. But that here we are sitting here today, that even people to be making those kinds of comparisons, I think it's problematic.
I think it is too. I encourage this to not be in the call. I talked to you about it. I talked to your colleague Dale Jackson about it, that I thought this was a bad idea to put this in the call, that if we're going to talk about reform measures, that we need to do so in a slow and deliberative manner in a regular session. And there are some rehabilitation measures. There are some things we can do to reduce recidivism. But letting folks that are that close to end of sentence out, whether they've got an ankle monitor on or not, I think I think is a mistake based on what those types of people oftentimes are and how they've acted, not just before they were in prison, but while they were in prison. And I'm not sure that this measure is really going to do an awful lot to reduce recidivism. And it's clear that letting dangerous, violent felons out prior to their end of sentence is a bad idea, bad for public policy.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Now, I think this poisons the well, obviously. I mean, it's just like Jimmy O'Neill Spencer did when that incident happened. You saw a real rush to come in, straighten out things at the Board of Pardons and Paroles, or the Bureau of Pardons and Paroles, I should say. What does this do? Does this change things? Does this should we be talking about? Well, this was clearly one that got away here. We need to correct. We need to rectify this situation. What should that? How should that go?
It likely is, and I think it will likely overshadow other reform conversations moving forward. You know that I hate sometimes that things like this happen, and that seems to be what gets people's attention, whereas the day before. It may have been dismissed as, well, we've got to go down this route and we have the Department of Justice and whatever else. You know, I think that the passage of HB 2 really is overshadowing the good work that was done to bring both sides of the aisle together, at least in the Senate, if not in the House, to build safer prisons, to build prisons that are safer for our corrections officers. To solve a decades-old problem that has plagued Alabama, to introduce genuine rehabilitation efforts and funding, to introduce genuine mental health care and health care into our prison system, real strides and steps forward on that side of the aisle and that side of the conversation, while keeping dangerous criminals locked up, I think it all gets overshadowed by this other piece of legislation that will let dangerous criminals out early, and that is truly a shame.
Well, let's back it up to the prison construction bill. You feel pretty good about it. Did the end product, I guess the only serious change made was keeping that Marion County agent-affirmed facility open for now, but that could change in the future. But do you feel pretty good about the bill otherwise?
I do. I really do. I think it's a great example of what can happen when everybody really does work together and has a goal. And that goal is we need to keep these prisoners in jail. We need to build the facilities and we need to allocate the resources in order to accomplish that public safety goal. We need to keep them in facilities that are safe for A, them, and B, for our corrections officers, which will help with our corrections staffing issue, right? We make it a safer place to work. It will be a more appealing job, and we deal with some of these Department of Justice issues that are looming, so that we don't have violent prisoners released. Those are all good things, and to do so in such a conservative and cost effective manner is a great way to proceed. You know, I saw an article by Mary Sell this morning, Alabama Daily News, talking about what's changed, and I think that what has changed is a third of the legislature is new since the last time this was brought up and is understanding that this is something that we needed to do to maintain public safety. I just hate that conversation is being detracted from by this other piece of legislation.
Yeah, right now, these are the things that get us to start talking about and thinking about these incidents like what happened up in the Shoals on Friday, the things that get us to start thinking about it and explain, like, why do we take this approach? Why don't we just give Chris England and the Democrats what they're asking for? That it's not just, well, we're Republicans and we're pushing back against it. No, there are real life consequences to some of these bills that we pass.
There absolutely are, and you know, some of the argument in HB 2 in particular for letting folks out early was, well, it allows us to keep keep a handle on them, right? It allows us still some authority over them since they're out. When they get out of at end of sentence, they're free to go do whatever they want to. This allows us to maybe get them going in the right direction and reduce recidivism. And my answer to that is that's what should be happening when they're in prison. That's what we should be working on while they're in prison, is reducing recidivism, is reforming these folks, especially when they're going to get out. But if they're dangerous, they ought to absolutely serve every day of their sentence, in my mind.
I mean, it's kind of silly. The argument is this, that we need to let them out earlier. We need to let convicted felons, convicted criminals that have been serving time in prison, which is, you know, you get in prison, you've done something very bad. We need to let them out early release, because that will reduce recidivism. It just seems it seems almost nonsensical to me.
It does to me as well. And, you know, the more I think about the electronic monitoring, you know, and the likelihood of these folks to reoffend, the more I think that the only good the electronic monitor is going to do is to let us know that that inmate was at the scene of their next crime when it's committed.
Senator, we're out of time here, but you've been very kind to come on such short notice. Let's talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff.
State Senator Chris Elliott there on the program. We got to get one more break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show, 1 FM Talk, 106.5.
You know it ain't so hard to say, but would you please just go?